owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, the views of our guests, and we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. But please do not call in unless we ask for calls, because we have with us today one of my favorite guests. In fact, a person who really had a profound impact on my life, because I'd been studying for what was going on in the world for about 22 years. I knew I was missing something. There was sort of an X factor out there. I knew all about the communists, and I knew that they'd been financed by American capitalists, and I knew about the great tax-exempt foundations and the Council on Foreign Relations. But there was always something missing. Something didn't make sense. And then one day, I read a book. It was called The Hidden Dangers of the Rainbow. And we still carry this here at our Radio Liberty. It's an inexpensive little book. It's easy to read. And yet, it introduced me to this whole occult world order. And there is another world. There's another dimension. There are people who serve the prince of this world. There are people who are dedicated to evil. And when you understand that, why a lot of the things we talk about begin to make sense. Well, Constance Cumby, the author of The Hidden Dangers of the Rainbow, is with us today, and we've gotten to know her fairly well through the years. And she's a lawyer, works back in Detroit. But she's been following the career of a very, very interesting individual. His name is Javier Solana. In fact, Javier was sent by the European Union to present to the Iranians their offer to negotiate a peaceful settlement of the differences, and where, of course, America is going to make tremendous concessions, the carrot and the stick technique that we keep talking about. Why was Javier Solana sent? Who is Javier Solana? And, of course, that's something that Constance knows more about than just about anywhere else in the world, because she thinks he is playing, or will play, a very important part in the events that are so close at hand. Constance, thank you so very much for being with us again.
Well, thank you, as always, for the opportunity.
Well, tell us a little bit about what's going on and why it was so important that Javier Solana was the man who was picked to take the peace negotiations to Iran.
If it had just been the Europeans, which I heard you say he had been, was picked by the European Union to go, there would have been nothing particularly significant about it, except for the fact that he was the sole voice speaking for Europe. But this time, he was the voice speaking for the world. And he represented not just the European Union. He represented the United Nations Security Council. He represented the United States. He represented China. He represented Russia. He represented Germany, who is not part of the UN Security Council. And he went on behalf of those six legal entities and presented the package for Iran. And I noticed on June 3rd, that his announcement through his press secretary made the announcement, Christina Gulak, that Javier Solana had received instructions to do this, and the request had been put through diplomatic channels for the meeting with Iran. But the date was not set as to when he would be going, and that they had high holidays for the death of the Ayatollah Khomeini, and so they were uncertain as to when the meeting would take place. And I wrote a rather tongue-in-cheek article about that in my blog spot. I like to work Friday nights very late in my office now that I don't have the responsibility of the weekly radio program that I had for 13 years. And I keep a chair in there in case I have to crash. It doesn't tempt me to crash, but it's there if I have to.
Hold that thought. We're going to be back just here in a moment with Constance Cumby, and we'll be talking about one of the most powerful, if not the most powerful man in the world. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. Our guest is Constance Cumby, and we're talking about her study of Javier Solana. And Solana is the most powerful single man in the world today. He has a very, very influential position, not only with the European Union, but with, of course, this Western European Union. His power, not only over Europe, but over the world.
Well, I discovered Javier Solana November 22, 1995, and that was 2 days after he had signed a treaty on behalf of the European Union with Israel. And it was the night that Israel had had a very strong earthquake, and in reading the headlines on the earthquake, there was a side headline that said, EU-Israel enter into treaty. And, of course, I looked at the headline, and it said the treaty had been negotiated by Javier Solana, acting under a full power of attorney from the European Union and the 10-nation Western European Union. And immediately, this was a new name to me, and I went, who is this guy?
And, of course, this almost has biblical significance, doesn't it? Prophetic significance.
It certainly sounds that way, or it certainly could. I was particularly intrigued by the notion that the 10-nation Western European Union had handed him this authority. And I went, who is this guy? It was a new name to me. So I pulled out my CD-ROM search engines. At the time, the Internet wasn't of the scope that it is now. And I did a search for fishing rights. Spain had fished Canada's halibut, turbo, and cod stocks almost to the point of extinction. Those stocks have never fully recovered. And Canada, of course, was frantic to stop them. And when a trawler went officially into Canadian waters and Canada took it into custody, Javier Solana personally dispatched 3 warships under his own authority against Canada. And his press release on it is one of the greatest exercises in political doublespeak I think I have ever read. He said, yes, he said, there are international treaties against...
Hold that thought right there, please. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Constance Cumby is our guest, and telling about her first introduction back, in mid-1990s to Javier Solana, when he was, of course, in a key position in Spain, and he sent warships against Canada. In other words, almost an act of war, because Canada had seized a Spanish trawler, Spanish fishing boat. So go ahead, pick up the story there, Constance.
Okay. So I did not know what was fully behind it then, but Solana said, yes, there are international treaties about fishing, but they only govern the types of fish caught. They say nothing about amounts. If we're going to have limits on amount, they should apply to all nations alike and not just to Spain. Besides, the Spanish fishermen, he claimed, discovered those Newfoundland fishing banks. Therefore, they should have every right to exploit them. Well, I'm sure that was news to everybody, including Spain and Canada. And it was a historical fact that was unknown to me until then, if it was a fact at all.
Maybe it had something to do with Christopher Columbus. I think he came from Spain, didn't he?
Well, he was a little south.
A little south, right. Well, that's all
way
right.
Way south of Newfoundland. But at any rate, what was really going down, and I was not to learn about it for several months later, Javier Solana had cut a deal with Morocco for a deal he was working against the United States of the Mediterranean. And Morocco, as part of the concessions from Spain, from whom there had been little love lost between Spain and Morocco over the centuries, demanded 3 concessions. A, let us sell our produce in the European market. And Javier Solana had the 2 floating presidencies of the 6-month presidencies that coincided of the WEU and the EU. And he said, granted. And then they said, we don't want your Spanish fishermen fishing off of our coastline anymore. Solana goes granted, and they're ordered home. And you had 600 unemployed Spanish trawlers, and their owners, they're all angry as can be. They're sitting in the ports of Spain, and they are threatening a national strike. And it is hard to be a great world leader when you have revolution brewing in your backyard. So they were told to go fish Canada. And they fished Canada almost to the point of extinction. And the deal was being worked with Morocco for the Barcelona process, which I was to discover the same night I discovered the fishing boats and the earthquake. And while I was looking at all that background, AOL flashed up a new headline at me and said the earthquake had come in the wake of an expected political earthquake in the form of the Barcelona process, due to conclude the Barcelona Treaty, and that Javier Solana, again, would be fully in charge, and there would be 15 countries from Europe involved and 12 from North Africa and the Middle East, and that there were three items on their plate. Number one, battle religious fundamentalism worldwide, direct quote. Number two, favorable trading terms for the partners in the region leading to a Mediterranean free trade zone by 2010. And number three, get the United States out of the Mediterranean or greatly reduce its presence. And they said the USA had requested participation status at this conference and had been granted by Dr. Solana observer status only. Well, thanks to knowing how to use my internet proficiently, I too had observer status, even though it was the poor man's way. And I just calmly pulled down their working documents, which were hanging out there, and their press releases, and all the articles that the press wrote as it followed the doings. He opened the conference November 27, 1995, with an attack on the Catholics. He said it was auspicious that the conference had opened on the 900th anniversary of the calling of the First Crusade by Pope Urban II, that what a lot of intolerance and misunderstanding that had led to, and one of the things they were about was to straighten out that clash of civilizations. He achieved his treaty, and he was given sole credit for the diplomatic accomplishment. They gushed all over him. Ehud Barak, who was there representing Israel, said they had at last beaten their swords into plowshares, and that Israel had at long last joined the European club, and these were the benefits of belonging to the European club. And Yasser Arafat all but called him the Prince of Peace, came pretty close to that. And I sent emails to my whole distribution list on November 28, 1995, and said, you better watch out for this guy. And 2 days later, one of my email recipients called and was screaming and said, turn on your television, quick. And I turned it on to CNN as he directed, and there was Javier Solana. I looked at him on television for the first time, and he had just been unanimously, from out of nowhere, dark horse candidate, made the new head of NATO. And I was dumbfounded because this was a man that said he wanted to get the United States out of the Mediterranean. I sent an email to the White House on December 1st, 1995. 52 congressmen sent a telegram to the White House on December 1st, 1995, and said, please do not back Javier Solana. My reason was he wanted to get the United States out of the Mediterranean. Their reason was he was allegedly pro-Castro. Anyway, Solana increased in power, and he extended NATO eastward, took many new countries in, and Russia signed the Treaty of Association in 1997. Boris Yeltsin, a year before that, had told the Russians, you'd better vote for me. I'm the only one who can stand up to Javier Solana. And he didn't. They signed the Treaty of Association for Space Taking Majors, they said, was said, in 1997. In 1999, the 50th anniversary of NATO was held in Washington, D.C. It was advertised all over C-SPAN that they would be giving total coverage to the doings. There was a White House dinner. It was co-hosted by Solana and the Clintons. And the next morning, all the delegates filed into the Mellon Auditorium in Washington, D.C. And Javier Solana introduced President Clinton to the delegates, who then effusively praised Javier Solana for his great world leadership, and then turned the meeting back to Solana, who promptly and brusquely ordered all the press and all the media whatsoever to leave immediately. It clearly caught C-SPAN off guard. They had to content themselves with showing reruns of anti-NATO in the park events from the day before, from the rallies, from the various speakers on the soapbox in the Washington Park protesting the NATO rally. And we didn't see them again until they came filing out of that hall. He had been on January 30th, 1999, Javier Solana had been given some very unusual powers for a NATO Secretary General, whose powers are usually administrative only. Usually he gets what the countries want and then he passes it on to the generals. But Javier Solana was given the authority to make the decision in and of himself and then direct the generals. and Javier Solana was given the sole power to make the military decisions over Yugoslavia effective January 30th, 1999. As Madeleine Albright said, we are speaking with one voice from Javier Solana. Well, he left that NATO job a little bit early, and that was to take a new position that had been created for him at the European Union with Section 666 of the Europa Code, believe it or not. It was created December 1998, called for a person with a strong political profile to run the common CFSP, common foreign and security policy, and that he was to develop policies for Russia, Ukraine, the Balkans, and the Middle East, with the first to be on, with the understanding the first would be on Russia. And Solana took that job in October, and only approximately 4 to 5 weeks later, the 10-nation Western European Union announced that they were handing Javier Solana all of their power, and that they would be dissolving and folding their agency into his agencies with the European Union, of which he was also made the Secretary General of the European Union. And he just basically had these powers, and then since then there's been moves to enhance his powers even further, because his usual complaint is he has to share powers with the Troika, with the six-month rotating presidency in Europe, and with the Commissioner of External Affairs, whose job is supposed to continue until the powerful foreign minister position is ratified by the new constitution, which he's hoped to pass. It went down by referendum in two countries, Germany and the Netherlands, and Great Britain called their referendum down. But in this past week, he was given a significant portion of those powers, and it was placed directly under his command. And of course, some of the Euroskeptics in Great Britain are furious. They said that they were cherry picking from the failed constitution. Basically, their intent is it's going to go through no matter what, that Europe has to have one voice speaking for it, and that the only person who is competent to be the one voice is Javier Solana. And that's Europe, but I have, with very little trouble, found on the internet plans that have been developed under Javier Solana, who is running not only Europe's foreign policy, but its military policy, and is rapidly consolidating all the arms of Europe into one body, and has dispatched several military operations under his personal command, including Congo, the Aceh mission in Indonesia, and the Balkans, which have taken over from the NATO. He has said repeatedly the plan is to use NATO assets with European control of those assets.
And of course, there's a hidden powerful force behind this gentleman, Javier Solana.
Oh, yes.
And of course, what is that force? How could one man have accumulated so much power in what we refer to as a democratic organization, the European Union, and controlling both the administrative and political and the military? Well, of course, we can talk more about that, but we're involved in a spiritual battle being fought on the political and military battlefield. And one man is beginning to wreck everything, not only for Europe, but indirectly for America and the world. Well, Constance, pick up the story there.
Okay. Well, in June 3rd, I looked out the window, and maybe imagination was working overtime, but the moon appeared distinctly very red, and it was an unusual sight, and so I went for my camera, and the batteries were down, and then I found one of the batteries were up, and by that time the moon had disappeared behind a cloud again. So I decided I was going to go to the computers and see what our very good friend Javier Solana was up to, and that was when I read about the new initiative before Iran, and that Javier Solana was going to be representing all of these countries, was the obvious spokesperson for the entire world on this thing. And I wrote rather tongue-in-cheek. I said, he's doing this. I said, I wonder that he is supposed to be doing this. The date is undisclosed. I said, I wonder what he is doing on June 6th, because all this fanciful attention had been played to 666, the coinciding dates that aren't supposed to happen again for a very long time, for another century or something like that. And I wrote it just rather tongue-in-cheek, and thought even he wouldn't be that flamboyant. And I said I thought over what had been happening, 25 years of anniversary of AIDS, the Javier, the riots and killings in Iraq, killings both by our troops of civilians in Iraq, and daily explosive bombings in Iraq by the insurgents, and a number of the other things that were going on, the tsunami, Katrina, et cetera, et cetera. And then I said, I gave some thought to that, and then I said, I wonder if that moon is still red. I said, did I see a red moon? Did you? I said, I wonder if that moon is still red. I wonder what Javier Solana is doing on June 6th. And I thought, oh, he wouldn't do that. Even he wouldn't do that. And June 6th, the morning of June 6th, woke up, just took a peek at my computer, and there it was, June 6th. Here he is. He's in Tehran. He's making the grand announcement. He is the lead story. He's the top story on Google as they prioritize their stories internationally all day long. He was out featured on the news, and I'm driving down the freeway going to a political event for a somebody running for judge that I practiced before. And here George Bush is, our president, George W. Bush, is on the radio praising Javier Solana to the skies, and said he was so terribly grateful to Javier Solana for representing the international community before Iran. And it was spooky. It was almost like it was the guy's international coming out party, that he was coming from behind, standing behind. And then 2 days later, he's meeting with Hans Blix. Hans Blix is handing him a report on disarmament issues, and they are proposing UN reform, and Javier Solana is being presented with the report, which was interesting in and of itself, on global disarmament. And then they said that they wanted the United Nations to be immediately reformed, because this is the only way they would be able to get the global disarmament in and have the power to punish nations that did not cooperate. And Javier Solana, they wanted to...
Hold that thought, right, please, just for a moment. Well, Dr. Stan and Dr. Constance was simply saying that on June 6th, 2006, why, Javier Solana was in Tehran presenting the offer from the United States and from the European nations, the so-called offer to Iran that, you know, if they would simply go along with this and stop their use of enriching of uranium, then we could all live happily ever after. And suddenly, Javier Solana is not only representing Europe, he's also representing the United States and many other nations. Certainly the most powerful man in the world, and yet most people in America have no idea who he really is. So pick up the story there.
Okay. Well, he did that representation, and 2 days later, he and Hans Blix are talking very openly that they must have powers, and the veto power for any nation has to be abolished in the United Nations, and they want the power to make globally binding law with using a simple two-thirds majority in the United Nations. And Solana was the big pusher on that, and some of the generals under Solana, I believe Oldhouse is one, has put PowerPoint presentations on the web where we can all look at them, talking about the triangle that they have in effect. And this is the triangle: the European Union, NATO, and the United Nations. And this is NATO under the control of the Europeans, because they have long since signed the treaties that if the United States does not wish to get involved in something, and there's something that Europe wishes to do, then Europe is free to use the armaments of NATO.
Probably largely financed by the United States and the United States taxpayers. But
I think he's going to get us in our own arsenal.
Of course.
There's very little doubt in my mind about that. And today he had another meeting that was equally fascinating from something I've been watching for some time. George W. Bush was in Vienna, and in his State of the Union message, he made a cryptic statement that many may not have caught the significance of. I think I did. And he said that we were addicted to oil, and that there were new technologies that were being worked on that would help solve that energy problem. Well, there is a technology move afront, and in fact, the New Agers have been boasting about this project in the 25 years that I have been intensely studying them, and that's called fusion energy. And Maitreya, whoever he is supposed to have a fusion energy solution.
You know, for our listeners, of course, Maitreya is this ethereal individual who is really sort of, he is the grand messiah, the messiah of the Jesus Christ of the...
Yeah, whoever they trot out and claim as their new Christ, unquote, is going to have to claim he's Maitreya to have the acceptance of the world's Buddhists and this whole vast esoteric community, which includes the Scientologists. L. Ronald Hubbard had convinced his followers for a period of time he believed he was Maitreya. The Theosophical movement, which had Krishnamurti in the 80s or in the 20s, but now says they're working for somebody else. Lucis Trust, the world's Buddhists, etc., etc., etc. There's this huge expectancy in the occult community that a new messiah is emerging, and that this is Maitreya the Christ, and he's the big daddy himself, that all the others, including Jesus, were mere underlings, but this one is important enough to justify the coming of the solar logo sending somebody called Maitreya, whoever he is and whatever he's supposed to be. And I like to taunt the New Agers sometimes by saying you're Maitreya the Christ, Betraya the Christ, or whatever his name's supposed to be. But at any rate, they were talking about a fusion energy project. Well, the big thing these folks are all working on, headed mainly by Solana, is a fusion energy project. They called it ITER, International Thermonuclear Experimental Reactor, and then also called International Tokamak Experimental Reactor. And they set up the plant after lots of discussion. There are several nations on board, including the United States. And they set up the project in France at Cadarache, which is also the site of France's atomic nuclear weapons. France is a member of the nuclear club. And they have set the program up there. And what these folks modestly claim they're going to do is harness the energy of the stars and bring fire from heaven down on Earth, which certainly does sound like biblical. And it's going to solve our world energy problems. Well, I submit whoever came up with a cheap solution like this might look like a savior that deserves international accolades.
And, of course, I think it won't be very long before some of these things do come to pass.
Today, Javier Solana was meeting with the head of Norsk Hydro.
All right, then we'll be right back in just a moment with Constance Cumby. And, of course, who is this one man so powerful throughout the world? Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Of course, these things that we're talking about today have a great deal of significance to Christians who believe that we are moving into truly prophetic times, and, of course, to Jews as well, because they're waiting for the return of their Messiah, and to the Indians who are waiting for the return of the Maitreya, and the Muslims who are waiting for the return of the Mahdi. We're all waiting for that world leader to come, and who will he be? Pick up the story, Kyle.
Okay. Well, I don't know who it is, and your guess is as good as mine and what Solana's role is. But interestingly enough, the Tara Center people have an operation they call Share International. And they run websites, Javier Solana is very cognizant of American publicity, and he's paranoid about it. He's kept a fairly low profile this side of the pond. In fact, June 6th is the highest I've seen so far, apart from NATO's 50th anniversary. And I've sarcastically taken to calling him the Invisible Man, because so few people appear to see him, even when he's walking out there very, very publicly. But he was featured on a Share International Spanish page with his picture, the rotating globe, talk about the great world teacher, and then saying, gee, here's this guy, he's out there saying the same things that our Maitreya is supposed to say. And I'm just wondering if they're not throwing some hints to their people. They're afraid to do it on the English site, but they've got it hanging out there in Spanish. And it's on the internet if folks want to look it up. And I'm wondering if they're not sending people a hint that maybe that's the one that they are looking at. In fact, I am wondering if they didn't intend to trot this guy out a long time ago, and if he hasn't perceived the likes of us as a 25-year career block.
Well, we'll know before long, because I think things are moving at a tremendous, tremendous pace today.
In 1999, about the time that I discovered he was given the enhanced NATO powers, I awoke on Sunday morning with a massive headache, and I was going to get ready for church, but it was clear I was grounded for the day with that headache. And as soon as while I was nursing the headache, they came on and said, we interrupt this program to bring you a very important announcement. Javier Solana, the Secretary General of NATO, has announced that the bombing of Yugoslavia may start as soon as the next few hours. Well, as soon as that headache lifted, I went down to those computers, and I pulled up a speech he was giving.
Hold that thought right there, please. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Constance was saying that, she was going to the computers. This was, in the latter part of the 1990s. Anyway, suddenly they announcing that Javier Solana has announced that the NATO bombing of Kosovo and Serbia is about to begin. And, of course, remember that Javier suddenly is in charge of NATO. He seems to be in charge of just about everything in Europe, and I hope he's not very soon going to be charged of the United States. But right now, certainly at this time, what is this, the late 1990s or early 2000s?
We're looking at 1999, March 21st, 1999, to be precise. And I heard that announcement that I couldn't believe my ears, and I went down and pulled up a speech he was giving. He was accepting the Christian Herter Foreign Policy Award, I believe. And he mocked George Washington's advice to the United States to avoid entangling foreign alliances. He said, why, those entangling foreign alliances are good for you. Well, it takes a lot of cheek to come to a country and mock the national icons, but here he was doing it, and he was getting away with it. And then he said in the same speech he had been given sole power to make the military decisions over Yugoslavia, including but not limited to whether to bomb or not. He said he didn't intend to use the power without checking in with the others. He said, but nevertheless, the power is mine, and mine alone. I didn't take his word for it. I went to Madeleine Albright's site. I pulled up. She said, Solana has the power and has had it since January 30th. We are speaking with one voice through Javier Solana.
And I think for our listeners, of course, Madeleine Albright was the Secretary of State at the time, subservient then to this man. This Spanish socialist was
now one who was officially a communist until September 29th of 1979, but I have a very clear picture of him giving the Marxist salute in 1983, the time when I was out lecturing on the New Age movement, and he's a year and a half older than me. Anyway, that night, President Clinton came on national television, March 21st, 1995. Not the first day of spring, now that I think about it, and in 1999, and he said that he talked about the bombings, and then he said, I agree with Javier Solana's decision to do this.
I remember that so well.
And nobody ever said, who's Javier Solana? and that bombing was pretty ruthless. The Pope sent emissaries, and he was concurred in by the Orthodox, Eastern Orthodox Patriarch. It was mostly Eastern Orthodox people that were being affected by the bombing. And they asked if they could please have a truce between the two Easters, the Western Easter and the Eastern Easter. And a headline on Good Friday, a common headline, was Pope Rebuffed. And I saw Spencer Abraham, who was the junior senator from Michigan. He had been a guest on my radio program in the past. I knew him well enough to talk to him. I went up to him, and I asked him point blank, why did we hand Javier Solana all of that power? And his answer surprised me. He said he could not make heads or tails of the Yugoslavian policy himself. It made no sense to him. He said, but he thought perhaps it was President Clinton hiding behind Javier Solana. He said, things like that happen in politics, you know. Yes, I know that they do. But this time I had the distinct impression that President Clinton was sucking up and not the other way around. And then Spencer Abraham, the junior senator from Michigan, in a year that an administration controlled by the Democrats, the Republican junior senator serving his first and only term in Michigan, volunteered to me that he, Spencer Abraham, had met Javier Solana personally. And I said, oh? And he said he and all the other United States senators had been flown to Brussels to meet Javier Solana. That's when I got a little bit scared. I did work in government long enough to know when somebody's getting heavy bucks from us, it doesn't work that way. They come here, and they go ever so humbly with their little entourage through the Senate office building, at least to the members of the key appropriation staffs, and are introduced to them and some of the key aides. And they're on very good behavior. And here, he had, and everybody had been flown there. But I've learned since reading the numerous books by various people that were around him, such as Strobe Talbot, who I think now is president of World Federalists and was a key aide in the Clinton administration. He'd spent a lot of time cultivating these people. He stayed with Strobe Talbot when he was in Washington many times, and to go out riding his bicycle with he and the family, which is one of Solana's geniuses. He really blends in. He looks like the safest guy in the whole place. He looks totally harmless. He looks like the most comfortable pair of old shoes in your closet, like everybody's favorite professor, perhaps favorite uncle. If you had to make a sudden decision, if you had a sudden emergency and you had to make a decision on who to hand your kids or your money or your resources to, who would be perfectly safe in a pinch, he looks like he would be a very logical, safe choice. He looks like somebody you'd buy a used car from and feel perfectly safe doing it. But when you listen to the stuff coming out of his mouth and the pronouncements and the braggadocio, and you look at some of his actions, which have been extremely ruthless, we're presented with a very interesting person who knows how to be totally disarming and at the same time totally destructive.
Well, I share your concern about this man, and I think the fact that most Americans don't, you know who he is simply is a reflection of the degree of control that exists of what the American people think, because the average American really has no grasp of what's going on in the world or the power structure that works within the shadows, moving us ever closer towards the New World Order and the New World Religion.
Now, I have spent 25 years analyzing the New Age movement, and I've been doing a lot of review. I'm going to be speaking in Oregon for a week, and I'll leave on the 29th. And so in the process of doing that and putting together things, that's been kind of a painful review for me, and watching old videos and tapes to prepare them to make them available to folks. And the Javier Solana's grandfather was on the list of endorsers of Planetary Citizens. Solana's mentor was Salvador de Madariaga. Alice Bailey had descriptions in her books of a Spanish disciple, and those descriptions, it is safe to say, match very closely what is known about Salvador de Madariaga, Solana's grandfather and mentor, who was also head of the disarmament committee for the League of Nations. He was intensely anti-clerical, There's some suspicion that he has some Jewish blood because he wrote the books on Christopher Columbus was Jewish. And Ron Hilton, I believe, one of his former students who's on staff at Stanford, believe that he may be Jewish for that reason. I don't know. Ian Paisley has said that Javier Solana is a devout Catholic. I rather suspect the folks in Rome would be pretty happy to learn about that alleged conversion, because Javier Solana is an atheist, as far as I know, does not have a religious bone in his body, and is decidedly antagonistic to anything that's religious. He comes from the class of people in Spain who were pretty happy having the churches torched or confiscated as meeting halls, and not those who were interested in worship of any type. And pretty much the NATO soldiers under his command and the EU troops under his command pretty much stood by and allowed the churches in Kosovo to be completely vandalized and destroyed, and sometimes monasteries and churches that were hundreds of years old were destroyed and burned, and not a finger was lifted, and Javier Solana did not say a word until there was public criticism about this. And then he made a few words, but said a few words, but he made no offer to have any restitution made or any enforced repayment of this destruction.
Well, I think that it's important that people understand that behind everything that's going on today are these powerful spiritual forces. You mentioned Alice Bailey, and those who don't know her, she is the mother of the modern-day occult movement, a disciple of Helena Petrovna Blavatsky. But Alice Bailey is best known for forming an organization known as the Lucifer Trust, and then it eventually became the Lucis Trust, because a lot of people, they get a little upset when you're let it know that you're following Lucifer.
Well, they organized, it was a publishing company originally in 1922, Lucifer Publishing Company, which, by the way, she had been an officer of the Theosophical Society nationally, as was her husband, Foster Bailey, who was a lawyer. And their Theosophical magazine had been called Lucifer for quite some time. And Foster Bailey wrote a book in 1977, I believe it was called Running God's Plan. It might have been 74, 1974, I believe. And it was a thin little pale blue tome. And he said on pages 14 and 15 that one of the goals of their hierarchy was to have a unified Europe. He said, now we tried this before, working through a disciple, using the Rhine River Valley and the inhabitants of that valley as a binding factor. He said that attempt was by a disciple, but was unsuccessful. He said now another attempt is in full swing, namely the Six Nation European Common Market. And interestingly, when Javier Solana gives histories of the European Union and its progress, he always starts out with that Six Nation European Common Market. And I just have to wonder if Solana wasn't groom for this thing. Alice Bailey wrote about a Spanish disciple who was plowing the ground for the first time over rocky ground, and that during the war years he exiled to South America and Mexico, which Salvador de Madariaga did, and that then he came back and started a work with the European youth, which Javier Solana did. He started a university for European youth, and one of Solana's missions that he posts very openly on his website is the Salvador de Madariaga Foundation. And I'm just wondering if Solana wasn't somewhat anointed and handpicked for some of this work as to be a successor for the disappointed aims that the movement had in Krishnamurti and Hitler. And this person who basically has some rather ruthless aims but can carry them off with Tea Party manners may not be able to accomplish what others tried to accomplish and have failed.
And, of course, behind everything going on are these powerful spiritual forces which have energized us. And many of these, of course, are already tied into the other dimension. And when they talk about the hierarchy, the Great White Brotherhood, or the Ancients of Wisdom, they're really talking about them on it. Spirit,
they really believe it. They really believe it. Now, another name, a big name, Maurice Strong, M-A-U-R-I-C-E, and Strong, who's powerful at the United Nations, and he was the one who allegedly mentored Kofi Annan, and who he has a huge land grant in Colorado where they have been giving land to so many of these occult groups. He's a Canadian hydroenergy billionaire. And I was looking at Finhorn one day. There was Lucis Trust. I periodically go on the web and check to see what they're up to. And they had pictures of an expedition of folks that had gone to Finhorn Foundation to meditate for this new Christ, whoever he is. And standing there very visibly, very prominent, you couldn't miss it, there is Maurice Strong. And the Finhorn Foundation in Scotland has been, it's been one of the centers, one of many centers, but they have been quite open about their Luciferic links. In fact, one of the prominent characters that supposedly channeled through them that was posing as a fawn told them, he said, "You know, of course, I am the devil. You've just said you love the devil." And the mathematician, Robert Ogilvie Crumbly, I believe, said, "No, no, you're not the devil. Christians were wrong when they took you, Pan, as a model for the devil." And I mean, the thing comes right out and tells them what it is, what they're about, and it's really hard. At this point, you think that it's hard to believe that there's people out there that really believe this stuff. And the worst of it is these people, with the greatest ease and facility, believing what they believe, have the nerve to poke fun at our beliefs.
Well,
and their own beliefs far surpass the bizarre.
Well, of course, but is there another dimension? Are these people able to tap into another dimension?
Oh, they tapped into something, and there was a prophecy in Scripture that he shall be mighty and he shall prosper, but not by his own power. These folks are tapped into something that clearly is beyond their own strength, beyond their own understanding, that is not of God. They don't understand it. They're overawed by it because they can't put it into any known human terms. They just know that they know that they know that they've encountered God himself. Mm-hmm. And Marilyn Ferguson, for example, wrote, too, that LSD had given an entire generation an experience along these lines. And my husband, who's a substance abuse counselor, told me, he said, if somebody uses LSD, he said, they believe they've seen God. It's very difficult to talk them out of it. He said, if they've used cocaine, they think they are God. And he said, it's virtually impossible to dissuade them. But at any rate, these folks are plugged into something, and they have these experiences, these mystical experiences. Something shows up, tells them he's God Almighty, and that, by golly, they're gods too themselves. And there's a prophecy also, such as, do wickedly against the covenant, will he corrupt by flatteries? Well, the flattery is a very old one, thou shalt be as gods. And it basically, people get there by dabbling in things that we were told clearly don't touch. And you have to ask, why would a good God tell us not to touch these things? Why can't we go to a yoga class or engage in this meditation or do this thing, go smell the incense with these folks or smoke some pot with these folks or mescaline, as some of the more New Agers have done, and or run around and say, what's your sign? And I think this is the reason. And I'm going into the spiritual realm on this myself, but I think that our Lord created us, knows our limits, knows what's safe for us and isn't, and put down these rules to protect us, to keep us away from this forbidden dimension until he set all right.
I think
from being a cosmic killjoy, he wanted to protect us. If you have not seen the sunlight, a flashlight could look mighty impressive. And these folks really have no basis for comparison. They know they're plugged into something. Sometimes they're afraid to cross whatever they have stepped into. I've talked to lots of people who've come out of it.
Constance, I want you to get your website out there where people can get in touch with you and get the information you have. K Constance, what's your website?
I don't have a website, but I do have a blog spot. I'm considering getting a website, but right now the blog spot's up there, and it's a dandy tool for communication, and it's www.cumbey.blogspot.com.
All right, fine. That's cumbey@blogspot.com. We'll be right back.
Worldwide Web, cumbey at blogspot.com, I think. Now, I better call it up myself. Now that I'm looking at it, it doesn't look quite right. But or if they were going to just Google it, just put in Cumbey and blog. All and right. You would, I don't even bother memorizing addresses anymore. Google works pretty well.
It really does, doesn't it? Well, anyway, this is so important. And, of course, when you read the scriptures, we're told to avoid mediums. We're told to avoid fortune tellers. We're told to avoid diviners. Why? Because they are all, of course, tapping into this other dimension, which is not imaginary. It's real.
And God wanted to protect us from that.
But, of course, I think some of the people, the Marie Strongs of this world, working with Mikhail Gorbachev and Stephen Rockefeller, have written the new Ten Commandments for the world. It's called the Earth Charter.
Right. Well, Lawrence Rockefeller had funded many of these projects. And Gorbachev, a director of the Fulbright Scholarship Program, a former director, has said that Gorbachev very clearly has made it been very open about the fact that he believes in this Maitreya the Christ, and that he is totally plugged into this for whatever reason.
Well, I think that he has gone over to the dark side. I think that he's deeply involved in the occult, as his wife was, when she was taking trips over to India to meet with Sai Baba on several occasions.
I hadn't known that, but I'm not surprised.
Well, we actually carry a book that's written by a man who has actually met Maitreya many times, and he's moved to Henderson, Nevada, where people are accumulating from all
over. Are you talking about Wayne Peterson?
Wayne Peterson.
Okay,
right.
That's the same book I was talking about. And incidentally, Javier Solana was a Fulbright scholar.
Well, it all comes together. Incidentally, we do carry Wayne Peterson's book, if you're out there in the listening audience, you'd like to get that. And we carry a few of these.
There's a few prayers while you're reading that one for protection. That guy is into it all the way. He's a true believer.
Well, we, of course, caution all of our listeners. If you're going to begin delving into this, you better have a personal relationship with our Lord, or you're going to be swept up into this.
Yeah, because that book had better be used as Exhibit A and not the truth. What's sad is that it is true that there are people at that level that he talks about that are very much into this thing. And it's sad to think that an intelligent man like Wayne Peterson could be that committed to it.
Well, I think that there
and
are.
And then another one is Buddy Peterson, and I once debated him on, as I did several of the others, and Mark Scott program, which was popular locally, and Buddy Peterson came out and said, "Well, Constance, how many years have you been fighting the Christ now?" And I said, "At least 15. That was then. And he then told Mark Scott, he said, "Nobody told me I was going to have to share airtime with Constance."
We're out of time.
And that was then. We're still battling, fighting the good fight.
Hold that thought for just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest has been Constance Cumbey. We're going to have to let her go because we're out of time, but I hope you'll come back again sometime real soon, because this is the recurrent theme of our program, to try to get people to understand the true nature of the battle. It's not political. It's not ideological. It's not cultural. It's spiritual, but it's being fought on a political, ideological, and cultural battlefields. And the woman who introduced me is Constance Cumbey, who's with us tonight. God bless you. Thanks so much,
Constance. Thank you so much for the opportunity. Glad to do it anytime.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, fine. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I hope that you've enjoyed the program, and I hope maybe you'll even want to get tapes of the program. It's important that you understand what we're really up against. We do carry that book by Wayne Peterson. And you'll just have to use his name. It's Extraordinary Times, Extraordinary Beings, I think it is. And he's been in contact with beings, and they're accumulating from all over the world. Sort of like Strange Encounters the third time. Why do you think Henderson, Nevada is growing so rapidly? They're all there waiting for the return of Maitreya. And you may think this sounds really foolish, and yet some of the wealthiest people and the most powerful people in the world are part and parcel of this movement. You need to get my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. Those of you not read yet gotten a copy of David Rockefeller's book, Memoirs, where he readily admits to being part of a cabal that is conspiring to create a new international order, and he says, if that's the charge, I plead guilty, and I'm proud of it. I'm a proud internationalist. If you'd like to get a copy of David Rockefeller's memoirs, while we carry it, you'll find out what a good friend of Fidel Castro is, of his daughter, of David Rockefeller's daughter. Why would David Rockefeller's daughter be such a good friend of that wicked Fidel Castro, who's the enemy of David Rockefeller and capitalism, or is this simply all part of the mirage? Anyway, a fascinating book, looking into the background of a fascinating individual who created the Trilateral Commission. And if you go to their website, trilateral.org, you can look at their logo, three sixes in a circle, joined together in the center by an upside-down broken cross. Give us a call if you'd like to get David Rockefeller's memoirs, if you'd like to get, of course, it's available in softback, so it's not so expensive. You can get Wayne Peterson's book, you can get The Writings of Manly P. Hall, The Secret Teachings of All Ages, and, of course, The Secret Destiny of America, and the Lost Keys of Freemasonry. But be sure that you pray beforehand, and if you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, do not get these books simply out of curiosity. You think you're going to get a thrill? No, you're going to be face-to-face with the very demonic forces which rule the world today. If you have not yet read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, shame on you. You need to get my book, and you need to get the DVD or the video to go with it. You're going to get them all together in the Brotherhood of Darkness special. You need to get my talk on the World Revolution, where we actually go into the background of the book written by the Librarian of Congress, and we, of course, will actually introduce you to Mr. Earl, Ambassador Earl Smith, my interview with him back in 1980, where the American ambassador to Cuba tells how we intentionally brought Fidel Castro to power, knowing he was a communist. I think you'll find it fascinating. That's World Revolution, and then we have so much other material. If you're concerned about what's happening financially and a little confused, you'll certainly want to get both either the DVD or the VHS, of the financial tsunami. Believe me, ladies and gentlemen, most people are going to be washed away when the tsunami hits. It comes with a syllabus that will give you the government figures on the massive debt that's out there soon will destroy the financial stability of our nation. That's the financial tsunami, and, well, go to our website of radioliberty.com. Radioliberty.com, incidentally, remember, we do carry the Berkey products, and if you buy either a Big Berkey or Berkey Light through us, why, you'll get a free four-tape set or a free video, one that we produced, of course. And then, of course, we do hope that maybe you'll want to get some of the health products that you need to maintain your health. We'd be glad to send you a free catalog, but we hope that you want to get your products through Radio Liberty, because they'll help us continue expanding our ministry out across America. And then, of course, please pray for America. Pray for revival. Pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection.